It's time to put on makeup. It's time to light the lights. It's time to get things started because it is Film Weekly tonight, coming to you from the Guardian headquarters as the Oscars unfurl like a red carpet before us. I'm Jason Solomons. I'm going to take you through the Oscar night here on a Film Weekly Oscars special. I'll be joined by Zan Brooks. Good evening to you, Zan.
Hello there.
And Catherine Shaud.
Hello.
You guys look fantastic tonight. You've blitzed every celebrity on the red carpet with your outfits.
We've out-Mickeyed Mickey Rourke.
You certainly have. And Catherine, is it a big night for you, Oscar night?
Yeah, I mean, the corset is one thing, but yeah, it's a huge night for us, and there's hundreds of us in the office, absolutely dolled up and raring to go, very excited.
So what I'm going to do on Film Weekly is I'm going to actually take us through the evening as the big awards kind of come before us, and I'm going to sort of tick them off, and we'll have a little comment about each of them and see what's moving on to look like the big winner. Is it going to be Slumdog's night, just before we start?
I think it is. I think that all the omens are going Slumdog's way, and you know, there was even a sort of mood of celebration out on the red carpet just a minute ago where all the kind of cast and crew were kind of rocking up. And there was a sort of genuine air of jubilation. It's a little bit early in the day to be saying whether this is founded, but all the evidence seems to suggest it is.
Exactly. So what you and I have done, and Catherine has done, is we've made you do predictions for... Here we are. Here they are.
List of rustle?
Predictions. I've rustled them for effect there. And I'm quite happy there. I've gone for Slumdog Best Picture. I've gone for Slumdog Best Director for Danny Boyle. I've actually gone for Slumdog in seven categories. Seven.
I don't know off the top of my head how many I've gone for. I've gone for Slumdog a lot, and certainly Best Picture. I've actually put Fincher for Best Director.
You see?
I think that might be the kind of concession prize for Benjamin Button, which is going into the night with 13 nominations, which is a huge amount. And I kind of think it has to maybe at least win one big award.
Yeah, I've gone for Taraji P. Henson as Best Supporting Actress for that one, which might be a bit controversial.
Yeah, maybe. I think that might be a good...
But Zan, you and I last year, we were sort of neck and neck until the final two, and you went famously for the two No Country for Old Men for director and film, and then I went bravely for Paul Thomas Anderson and There Will Be Blood.
I lost
those final two. I threw it away.
I should have retired then, shouldn't I? Because this is now a rematch that I stand to be humiliated.
Do you know what I've done this year? I've watched the Oscar shorts, both animated and live action. So I know. I'm not just choosing some names that remind me of
my
grandma. I
feel like I'm an old boxer coming in couple of pounds overweight and just not really, not the eye of the tiger anymore.
Well, it's some of those middle categories. I'm not sure about sound mixing. I'm thinking, will Wally win?
I don't even
sound?
Know what sound mixing
no,
is.
No, that's why I'm thinking, well, Wally, there was some sound in it. But
there
no,
was.
Not.
It was good. It sounded good.
It sounded okay. And I'm thinking costumes. Do you think that Michael O'Connor, lovely man who I met when I tipped him for an Oscar back when The Duchess was released, I said, oh, Oscar-winning costume. And he wrote to The Observer and he said, thank you for saying that. No one's ever given me a review before. So I'm tipping him. He's here at the Oscars, nominated.
Well, the costumes,
do you think he can win?
I think the costumes were the best thing in The Duchess,
well, absolutely,
frankly.
That's why I tipped it.
So, yeah, fingers crossed.
But he's up against Australia, which also had nice costumes in
it. Oh, no, they can't give anything to Australia, surely. I mean, Hugh Jackman's got the Oscar presenting gig. That's the little prize for him.
That's it, you see. So those are the little bits where we could kind of lose and pick up things out. I'm aiming to beat you very roundly this year.
Okay, but haven't we got Catherine as a sort of spoiler who could beat both of us?
Catherine, where's your heart?
Oh, I forgot that today. I don't know, and I'm be very happy to have, you know, just a pure rematch. I don't want to inject more sort of tension into it or something. Very happy if you two
That's
just want to slug it out.
That's code for being scared.
That's code for saying, you boys, testosterone it out on Oscar night. I'm just going to look at the dresses.
Yeah.
No, you're not, Catherine, at all. You're competitive, deep, and you're like, what's her name, Trimble off University Challenge.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you very much. You've got to get back to your blogging. I'm going to take it away because I think Fern Cotton is finally withdrawing from that really frightening
position. Are they not
letting
her Fern into the Kodak Theatre? That's a shame.
She doesn't deserve it.
Oh, dear. I was hoping that she'd be the MC.
So the glamorous celebrities have filed past. They are inside the Kodak Theatre. We've had the red carpet. I'm joined now by Rachel Holmes, who's been watching all of the dresses as the Guardian's web fashion editor. Rachel, what sort of look was going on this year? Everyone looked like they were sort of from the 1950s on that carpet to me.
Yeah, well, you said the word glamorous there, but actually it's been sorely lacking in glitz and glamour.
My glamours, they were in inverted commas, my glamorouses.
They should have been, because Philip Seymour Hoffman actually wore a beanie down the red carpet, which I've never seen before.
And Mickey Rourke didn't even wear a tie.
No, but do you know why that was?
Is it in mourning for his dog?
It was in mourning for his dog. If you looked very closely, you could see a photograph worn on a pendant round his neck of Loki, the deceased dog.
Oh, and that's allowed, is it, in dress code?
I have no idea, but it's Mickey Rourke. I'm sure he got away with it.
No one was stopping him.
No.
What about the girls? Because normally we look to them for some fashion disasters. I couldn't really see any disasters. It looked a bit safe this year.
It did. There were no disasters, and neither were there really any standout dresses. Tilda Swinton, normally we look to her for something completely bonkers, but she was wearing a nude sort of... She wasn't actually nude. A nude coloured top that had sort of ruffles on it and, you know, made her look really washed out. And what else did we see? Frida Pinto, boring.
Yeah, the girl from Slumdog Millionaire. I was thinking she might go for something very colourful and glamorous and Bollywood. In the end, it was just blue.
Disappointment all the way. It was a John Galliano dress. It had some sort of beading on it and... Yeah, it was blue and boring.
I thought Dev Patel looked very swish next to her.
He did. He was wearing Burberry.
Classic English.
Yes, nice little thin lapels. And actually, he sort of showed her up on the red carpet.
Did I see Beyonce looking kind of hourglass and gorgeous?
He did. As usual, Beyonce was looking hourglassy, wasp-waisted and all that kind of shenanigans. I don't know who her dress was by, but it had big gold flowers all over it, which was quite exciting.
And I did notice that Kate Winslet kind of went down very well with some of the experts there. I couldn't work her out myself. I've never been that impressed with her. I like that red, was it Bendelisi? She used to wear that all the time, breakfast, lunch and dinner. She seems to have moved on to Yves Saint Laurent this year.
Yeah, well, she wore Yves Saint Laurent for the BAFTAs. You may remember she wore a sort of black strapless thing. And she wore Yves Saint Laurent again tonight with some kind of lace apron, but on the side, which wasn't particularly inspiring.
They said to me, Kate Winslet pulls it off. I said, she pulls it off for every movie, that girl.
Yeah.
Literally. And I noticed that Anne Hathaway was on the red carpet in something very white. And I even said to you, oh, she looks like she could do with a meal. And you said a tan as well.
Yeah, Anne Hathaway seems to get paler and paler every time she goes to an awards ceremony. I don't quite know what's going on there. She's probably got consumption or something. You know?
But I noticed that when she went into the ceremony and she was in part of the opening number, she was wearing a different dress.
Yeah, well, that's because she was on stage doing her jazz hands thing with Hugh
Jackman.
So
you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to wear something for the red carpet and then change into something else.
You are, yes.
Well, I'm going to do that. Rachel Holmes, thank you very much for joining me. Go and catch some more people who might have changed by the time you last saw.
All right, then.
Good evening. Good evening and welcome to the Academy Awards. This really is the biggest...
The Oscars 2009 gets underway. Big fanfare. The host, Hugh Jackman, walks on what's he going to do. He does a few jokes. He talks to Penelope Cruz. He talks to Kate Winslet in the front row. He even has a little cuddle with Mickey Rourke. Then he moves centre stage and says, here's a little thing I prepared earlier. The music starts up. Oh, no, he's going to sing, I say. Hugh Jackman sings.
Because in Hollywood... You don't need money. You can build a dream out of nothing. Just a humble slum dog sitting in the chair of a millionaire. What will I be holding in the end?
It looked like it was going to be a terrible, terrible start. And actually, I think he got away with it. That guy can sing and can dance and is very charming.
I'm only here so I can phone a friend.
So, Hugh, that was all well and good, but it was all stalling. You started well, but let's get to the meat of what we're all interested in here at Film Weekly. The first category, it is Best Supporting Actress. And five supporting actresses from the past step forward to present this award. Whoopi Goldberg, Goldie Hawn, Tilda Swinton, Eva Marie Saint, who won it for On the Waterfront way back in 1961, and Angelica Houston. They presented the award. Tilda Swinton read out the envelope. The winner was...
The Oscar goes to... Penelope Cruz.
Thank you so much to the Academy. I want to share this with my fellow nominees and with the amazing ensemble of actors that I had the privilege to work with in this movie. Thank you, Woody, for trusting me with this beautiful character. Thank you for having written over all these years some of the greatest characters for women.
Zan Brooks is here. First big award of the night went to Penelope Cruz for supporting actress for Vicky Cristina Barcelona. I didn't pick that. I went for Taraji P. Henson in Benjamin Button, but you did go for Penelope, so you're delighted.
I did go for Penelope, mainly because in a very conservative way that she was seen as the front runner, and I did really like her in Vicky Cristina Barcelona. I mean, everyone was talking about it not being such a great film, but I thought that the relationship between her and Javier Bardem, who I also actually think should have been nominated for Best Supporting Actor again for the role in that
having
film,
won it last
were
year
great.
Well.
So I'm very pleased for Penelope. And I like the fact that she paid tribute not just to Woody Allen, but also to her mentors, to sort of Almodovar and also Big Ass Luna, who's a bit of a forgotten kind of person in Spain.
And one of the great names in
it
European
is one of the fantastic.
Big Ass Luna and Fanny Ardon. Those are my two
they
favorite
should get
names.
Together.
Yeah, can you imagine the size of that thing? Then original screenplay came about. That went to Milk, Dustin Lance Black, the author of Milk. There. Another one that you got right, and I didn't. So you must have been delighted with that.
I like Milk a lot, and I think that Milk is fated to kind of fall by the wayside a little bit here.
Then the adapted screenplay, which in a way is the strong category this year, because
most of the
major films come from adapted screenplays for some reason, original screenplays being hard to find. Adapted screenplay, the first award of the night for Slumdog Millionaire. Simon Beaufoy won it. And let's hear Simon accepting his award.
Thank you very much indeed. There are certain places in the universe you never imagine standing. For me, it's the moon, the South Pole, the Miss World podium, and here. It's a tremendous honour. So thank you to the Academy. Thank you very much.
And nice to hear a Brit up on stage, the first one of the night.
Yeah, and you're right that the adapted screenplay is actually more strong this year than the original screenplay, possibly because of the writer's strike. And yeah, again, this was an expected award. I think Simon Beaufoy is a writer with a good track record and a good pedigree. And he certainly made Slumdog Millionaire kind of run. I mean, it was a very well-structured film.
Yeah, and I think the Academy liked this sort of film, this sort of structure as well. It looks like it's been like well-written because there's flashbacks and flash-forwards and it's a good structure. In fact, kind of the idea of the film is kind of where it's
almost like
at
a software program, isn't it? Of how to make a script that you have, you know, the questions give you the plot of the film and he works that in brilliantly.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also, he was nominated for the Full Monty last time, and that also sort of has this kind of rags to riches kind of uplifting kind of discovery of humanity throughout. So well done, first award of the night for Slumdog Millionaire. I think there will be more. In fact, then Zan, we had the nominations for animated film, which went to Wall-E, which we both predicted. Then came the animated short La Maison en Petite Cubes by a Japanese gentleman who gave the funniest acceptance speech of the night, which no one understood. Then art direction came in, Benjamin Button. The costume designer, I was delighted to see the costumes.
Yes, you were.
It's Michael O'Connor for the Michael O'Connor for The Duchess.
And it was you that won it, wasn't it? I mean, you tipped him back in the day.
I thought he might thank me in his
acceptance
speech.
Well, he didn't. He doesn't care about you now.
He forgot about
me. He's in the big league.
It's in the heat of the moment.
No, no, he's not going to return your calls now.
America deserves an apology.
Franklin Jello was sitting right next to me.
Stop your lies right now.
The ceremony is well and truly underway. I'm joined by Paul McInnes, the entertainment editor of The Guardian. Paul, what do you think of the show so far?
Well, I think from what I can judge on the television, on the internet and around the office, it seems to be splitting people. They've gone back to an old school format. They've got Hugh Jackman in, who's a clean-cut Hollywood hero, who's a song and dance man. Now, for me, I really like it. I think it's got a lot of glamour.
Yeah.
I think it's very fast-paced. I think he's got charm, and I think his lines have worked. But there's a lot of people who seem to think he's a bit too slick and not that funny.
Yeah. I mean, it's a change from the old Billy... Well, the Billy Crystal used to kind of do both, didn't he? He used to do jokes, and then he used to do a bit of showbiz. And then recently we've had Chris Rock, David Letterman. They haven't done this kind of the big numbers. They're saying the musical's back now, but with Mamma Mia's success. And I think it's working. I'm enjoying it. We've just come from watching a Baz Luhrmann massive inspired kind of medley number. It was risky, had Beyonce, it had doing a bit of Mamma Mia, it had a bit of kind of old Top Hat stuff. I liked it.
Well, I liked it, and I think, you know, the zeitgeist bears it out because he had supporting him, he had the cast of Mamma Mia, but he also had High School Musical 3, he had Vanessa Hudgens and Zac Efron on there, and, you know, they are huge properties, and that's very much what it's about right now. But I enjoyed his homemade number at the beginning, which was supposed to be low budget recession Oscars, and it was all looked as if it'd been cut out of cardboard, but obviously it had a team of 30 mechanics working on it for 6 months. But I enjoyed that too.
In fact, let's have a little listen to Hugh Jackman with Beyonce.
Maria.
I'm putting on my top hat.
Well, brilliant. I think it's sounding good. Those are the interim bits. The other bits of the show, Paul, that are also new are the kind of compilations that we're getting. We're getting one from action. We're getting one from musicals. We got a really good one from comedy, I thought, with James Franco and Seth Rogen from the Pineapple Express, the two stoners, watching kind of clips. I really enjoyed that bit.
Well, yes, I think we were all laughing out loud when they, in turn, Rogan and Franco, were laughing out loud as they were watching clips from The Reader. Not really something you're supposed to do, but still they were enjoying themselves. It was funny about that skit, obviously, that it's a stoner movie, but it's the Oscars, so they can't really be stoned. So they had to kind of give us the impression they were without having big bongs or anything like that. But I think the level of the humour in total has been high. I mean, Ben Stiller coming on doing an impression of joke in Phoenix was very funny. But Tina Fey and Steve Martin were a great pairing. There was real chemistry there. But real gags, you know, these are two comedians who write material for, Faye has written material for lots of people, as well as for herself, and Martin obviously is a stalwart, and they really pulled out some zingers.
The idea was to obviously skew the show to a younger audience, or at least to a bigger audience, to kind of stop it kind of being too elitist. Do you think that's going to work? There were a song and dance number, a comedy number with two stoners, Tina Fey and Steve Martin. It still seems quite sort of sophisticated to me.
Oh, well, that's good, because I think it felt quite broad. You know, I think it's definitely appealing to the younger kids. I think the musical element does appeal to the kids. Again, High School Musical, and you've got your Rogans, you've got your Apatow element, who are obviously big with the young blokes.
Let's go and see who wins awards now.
Anthony Dodd Mantle for Slumdog Millionaire.
Zan Brooks is back with me. We've made a big advance now on Oscar night, and it does look like the momentum for Slumdog Millionaire is building, Zan. We've had 17 awards. Slumdog Millionaire has now got 4. Started with that one for Simon Beaufoy, the screenplay we talked about earlier. Then it won for Anthony Dodd Mantle's cinematography. A well-deserved one, I think.
I think so. Anthony Dodd Mantle is great. I remember him doing sort of films for Lars von Trier back in the day, and you know, and he's one of the great cinematographers, and really kind of captured Mumbai in all its kind of, you know, gaudy, grimy glory, really, in this film.
Yeah, it felt like a microscope. It got right into the kind of slum, right into the fabric of that society. We also had it in between all of the Slumdog momentum building. We had the supporting actor Oscar for Heath Ledger, which was accepted by his family, his mum, his dad and his sister. Was that a nice moment?
It was a lovely moment, weirdly, because it was quite a low-key moment. I think that it had been sort of built up as, you know, the real surefire win of the night, that everyone knew that Heath Ledger was going to take the posthumous Oscar. And, you know, it might have been an excuse to get very kind of crass and lachrymose about it. But actually, Heath Ledger's family came up. They were obviously moved, but they weren't kind of milking the attention. And it was just struck the right note.
Let's have a listen to Heath Ledger's dad and mum now.
This award tonight would have humbly validated Heath's quiet determination to be truly accepted by you all here, his peers, within an industry he so loved. Thank you.
Zan, after Heath Ledger won his award, it was the documentary award, which I was very anxious to see that went the right way. I'd gone for Man on Wire. I was a bit concerned that Trouble the Water, a documentary about Katrina and New Orleans, might sneak it. But in the end, it went to Man on Wire. I put it, you put it, it thoroughly deserves it.
And it was a great category this year, wasn't it? It was a really strong category. But Man on Wire, I think, was the standout. And it was great that they had Philippe Petit there on stage, boasting that he was going to give the shortest Oscar speech in history by saying yes, and then suddenly going off on this kind of wild, whimsical ramble, which was entirely in keeping.
Let's hear from those men on wire.
The shortest speech in Oscar history. Yes. But I always break the rule. I break my own rules very quickly. And of course, this film would have not been made without my Kathy. And also, Werner, I always carry the coin you gave me. And you were right. We won. So now it's time to thank the Academy for believing in magic.
That's director James Marsh, producer Simon Chin, big friend of the show, and Philippe Petit as well, who balanced his Oscar on his chin, ladies and gentlemen.
And I think pulled a coin out from somewhere as well.
Did a bit of French magic and then a bit of miming. I mean, he was the whole Marcel Marceau, the lot, the Frenchest man
Maybe
ever.
He could be host next year. That would be good.
Oh, I think he was auditioning for that one, Zan. And then the Slumdog momentum really built when it won for sound mixing and for editing as well. And I think that's the power of those adverts that you get for Slumdog, when it's just... Everyone goes, oh, that's good editing. But I think that is good editing. I think it finds meaning within the pictures and pulls the whole thing together.
Yeah, it's got a great momentum to it, Slumdog Millionaire, hasn't it? It really knows what it's doing, and it kind of runs and drags you along with it. So the editing award was well deserved.
Let's go back in, Zan, and see if it can carry that momentum all the way through to the end of the show. Okay, so there are four awards left in the evening to present. We've just had a musical montage. The best music went to A.R. Rahman for Slumdog Millionaire. The best song went to Jai Ho from Slumdog Millionaire. Slumdog has now got six awards with only four to go, and it's only up for two with Best Director for Danny Boyle and Best Film. So I'm thinking it's going to end up with eight in the end. The big shock of the night, foreign language film has just gone to Departures from Japan. It didn't go to The Class, the Palme d'Or winner. It didn't go to Waltz with Bashir at all. Nobody in England has seen this film. Hardly anyone in the States has seen this film. Sam Brooks guessed it right. I don't know how he's done that, but that was the foreign language film winner. Probably the biggest shock of the night. It's gone to Departures. Four to go. I'll be back to find out if Slumdog can make it eight. So, as I said, there were four awards left to go. Can Slumdog make it a 7 and 8 with a Best Director and a Best Picture? But first, we have to deal with the acting awards, Best Actor and Best Actress. And believe me, dear Film Weekly listener, there is a surprise therein. So let's go to that surprise, first of all, because for Best Actor, the favourite was Mickey Rourke, but the award went to Sean Penn for Milk.
As our cars drove in tonight, and I think that it is a good time for those who voted for the ban against gay marriage to sit and reflect and anticipate their great shame and the shame in their grandchildren's eyes if they continue that way of support. We've got to have equal rights for everyone.
Sam Brooks is back with me. That was a surprise, Sean Penn.
That was the big surprise of the night, wasn't it? Mickey Rourke was the slight favourite going into the night, and he seemed to have the kind of head of steam. It was the big road to redemption story that everybody was kind of liking, and this was the great final act. But in a way, it's kind of fittingly Mickey Rourke that it didn't happen. I mean, Mickey Rourke has made a career out of sort of snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. This was, you know, the great Brando's natural successor, who kind of blew it, and now has come back with a fantastic role in The Wrestler, and now just at the last minute just blows it again.
Absolutely.
And it's so Mickey.
That said, Sean Penn is terrific in Milk. I was very fond of his performance. It was lovely in it. Yeah,
it's two fantastic performances, and this was a very strong category as a whole. I mean, Richard Jenkins is great in The Visitor, and obviously he was never going to win. He was the real dark horse. It was a good, strong category, so nobody would begrudge Sean Penn for winning, and I thought his speech was great.
Yeah, absolutely, and strong and political in a very Sean Penn kind of way as well. Last time he won was for Mystic River, and he kind of went, we know there are no WMDs in Iraq, and this time he was banging the drum for gay marriage and an elegant president. So, I mean, I thought a nice win for Sean Penn. I just think maybe the Academy were a bit scared to give it to Mickey Rourke, not quite sure what he would say on the night.
There's that, and there were reports that maybe some of his kind of more high-profile antics in the wake of the Globes and the BAFTAs kind of maybe offended some of the more genteel, elderly Academy voters.
Yeah, but it says something that Sean Penn, who's, you know, kicked a paparazzi in the head or two in his time.
Only in Hollywood can Sean Penn be installed as the sort of the white knight in shining armour to come and kind of rescue the world from evil Mickey Rourke.
So I said Sean Penn was the surprise in the acting category. That leaves Best Actress, which leads you probably to think that it went to the favourite. And indeed it did. Kate Winslet received the Best Actress Award and harked back to a childhood of dreaming about it.
I'd be lying if I haven't made a version of this speech before. I think I was probably 8 years old and staring into the bathroom mirror, and this would have been a shampoo bottle. Well, it's not a shampoo bottle now.
So Kate Winslet wins for The Reader. It's not my favourite role of hers, Anne, I have to say. I didn't think she particularly deserved it.
No, they should have given it, you know, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Lovely.
Or even, you know, this year, Revolutionary Road. I thought she was way better in than she is in The Reader. I don't like The Reader as a film.
Me neither.
But she is a good actress. I do think this has been a long time coming, and she's deserved it maybe as a sort of body of work, perhaps.
Absolutely. She was fairly gracious this time. We're not going to be doing impressions of her like we did at the Golden Globes. I think she kept a lid on it slightly. She got a bit teary when she mentioned mentioned her producers in the film, Anthony Minghella and Sidney Pollack, but then who wouldn't?
This is true. That's the only time she kind of choked up. She's one of these curious characters, isn't she, Kate Winslet? That on the one hand, she's very keen on being seen as the girl next door, very down-to-earth, kind of ever so humble. And on the other hand, there's a kind of absolute blazing ambition in her eyes that she kind of alluded to with the speech, saying that this is the moment that she's been kind of dreaming of since she was 8 years old, and now finally it's here.
Yeah, there's no ambition there whatsoever. She did actually sort of mention that she brought in all the rest of the girls in the category and said, I don't think any of us can quite imagine that we're in a category alongside Meryl Streep. And I thought, you know what, you're right, because you're not as good as Meryl Streep.
No, she's not as good as Meryl Streep, and she can call them kind of goddesses as much as she wants. It smacks of gloating to me.
well done, Kate Winslet. We applaud you anyway, because it's a British win, and so that's well done. So, will there be two more British wins in the remaining categories, Zan? It's Best Director up next. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Ron Howard? Is it going to be Stephen Daldry? Or will Danny Boyle carry it off?
Danny Boyle.
My kids are too old to remember this now, but when they were much younger, I swore to them if this miracle ever happened that I would receive it in the spirit of Tigger from Winnie the Pooh. And that's what that was. You have been so generous to us this evening. And I wanted to thank you for that, and also for an extraordinary, what a beautiful show you've done. I don't know what it looks like on television, everybody, but in the room it's bloody wonderful, really. So well done, everyone.
Well, the wonderful things about Tigger, Zan, is they're the only ones, and Danny Boyle certainly is unique in his category, and has done a unique piece of work in Slumdog Millionaire, and I think definitely the most distinctive work amongst a very strong category this year.
And he's kind of provided us with the headlines, hasn't he, with the Tigger reference. He is a very Tigger-ish director. He's a very exuberant, energetic, irrepressible director who's made films in a variety of different genres. Some of them work, some of them don't, and this one really works, and I'm really pleased for him. I mean, I you know, he's one of these directors who I don't even think he's a really great director, but I'm so glad that he's around, you know, screwing up occasionally and occasionally hitting the jackpot
like this. He's a pretty good director, isn't he? And
yeah,
he's full of energy
director.
And he's full of trying each time. He's not a boring director in
any
way.
Never boring.
He's a lot more exciting than, say, Ron Howard.
Exactly. He's taking risks. He's trying new things. Sometimes he'll fall flat on his face like a Tigger will do. But like a Tigger, he'll always get right back up again.
He's bouncy, 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 Zan. Fun, 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 fun.
Long may he bounce.
Danny Boyle, congratulate you. We congratulate you. Of course, he's been a guest on Film Weekly as well, and in the Director's Chair series. So, can Slumdog Millionaire make it 8 out of 10 nominations? Can Slumdog Millionaire become Best Picture at the 81st Academy Awards? The award goes to...
And the Oscar goes to... Slumdog Millionaire, Christian Coulson, producer.
Thank you so much to the Academy. As you can see, our film was a collaboration between hundreds of people, and I'm so happy that so many of them could be with us here tonight to share this moment. Together, we've been on an extraordinary journey.
Slumdog Millionaire. Well, congratulations. It seemed inevitable, Zan. After sort of about the third or fourth award that it had won, it picked up its head of steam, and it is the best picture there because it's won 7 awards before it won this one. It would have been a hell of a shock had they come out with The Curious Case of Benjamin Button after all that.
Yeah, it really would. I think everybody knew that it was Slumdog's night tonight. But for all that, it was great. I mean, you know, technically, the winner of this Best Film Award is Christian Coulson, the producer. But because Slumdog was conceived and shot in this spirit of great camaraderie, everybody kind of bundled up on the stage. So you had young and old, you had the cast and the crew. And it's an Oscar for all of them, really.
Absolutely. They swamped the stage there, didn't they? There were the cute kids from the slums. There were the musicians. There was everyone who'd won anything. It was a really... It was a marvellous scene to behold, in a way. A very Indian scene to behold. It was completely...
A very Indian scene, but also a great kind of melting pot scene, which is what this film kind of is. It's a film partly shot in Hindi language by a British director, distributed by American companies, that is playing well around the world.
Yeah.
So it is the kind of the first big, proper, globalised blockbuster, I think.
I think I'm right in saying it's the most subtitled film also to win Best Picture at the Oscars. So perhaps it marks a whole new world as well, a new model as well. No stars in it, no massive special effects as well.
I think it does. And also I was reading something that the Academy voters, who are typically seen as these kind of fading, retired, crotchety old Californians, that the makeup of the Academy is changing, that it is becoming younger, and it's also becoming more foreign language people. It's people who aren't American. And maybe that has had the edge with a film like Slumdog coming through.
So we congratulate Slumdog on its 8 awards. Azan, just to sum up the whole awards, you've been blogging away through it, I've been watching it with you. Our predictions, first of all, how do we do? Out of 24 categories, I got 16 right.
I just edged it with 17.
No, not again.
And we know the film that edged it, don't we? We know the category,
which was
a real wild card choice of mine in the best foreign language.
Yeah, because
film
I know you like The Class, and I know you like Waltz with Bashir. So I went for The Class, hoping that the Palme d'Or winner might win. But you went for?
I went for Departures.
You don't even know what it is.
I don't know what it is. I've no idea why I did, but. But, you know, the fates were on my side.
You had that film feeling in your pit.
No, I have to say, I had actually read one or two things that said that Departures fitted the bill, that the Academy tends to give the best foreign language film Oscar to the safest, most conservative choice. And they said that Departures was that.
Yeah, it looked it. And I must say, I was talking to the people at Artificial Eye who have the Class and Waltz with Bashir here in distribution.
Both
in
of which are superb.
And
films.
They are the experts in world cinema, Artificial Eye. They have not even seen Departures yet. So congratulations to you, Zan. I cede to you in your prognoses and your perspicacity in particular. Yet another victory on Oscar night here on Film Weekly. Zan, in general, a good awards though?
I think it was a rubber stamping awards, wasn't it? It kind of was good as a show. I thought it was a better show than last year. I thought that parts of it were actually very funny. Some of the jokes were funny. Some of the routines were funny. It kind of had that sort of razzle-dazzle spectacle that against the odds, I kind of liked. And it worked for me. I think the actual awards were largely a foregone conclusion. But nobody would begrudge Slumdog winning.
Do you have a highlight moment?
For the drama of a highlight moment, I would say the Best Actor award, you know, because that was the real big moment of a method angsty drama to see Mickey Rourke kind of crash and burn at the last bit. For the kind of the upside of that, I guess Slumdog winning and Danny Boyle's acceptance speech.
Yeah, Danny Boyle was lovely. I did like Philippe Petit, the man on the wire, who came down out of nowhere like suddenly and gave that very French thing, and he put the Oscar on his chin and dangled it on his chin like a French.
He seems so kind of skittish and unreliable and you know, mercurial and running off in all directions. You wonder how he ever kind of concentrated to walk that wire.
Absolutely. Well, he managed it, and we have the documentary to prove it. Congratulations to our friends who won Oscars today, to Danny Boyle, to Man on Wire. In the end, it wasn't a bad night, Zan. Thank you very much for joining us on Film Weekly for it.
Thank you.
What we're going to do is play out to an Oscar-winning song, Why Not, from the soundtrack of Slumdog Millionaire. It is Jai Ho.